turn your Bibles this morning. If nobody has a song or a testimony or anything on their heart, if you would turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter number 14. I started to tell Brother Dwight after he opened up, this is what the Lord had laid on my heart this morning. It was amazing to be able to sit here, Brother Joey, and Brother Dwight opens up for Rodney because they're at home sick, and he goes right to Matthew chapter number 14. I thought, boy, this is going to be good. I just appreciate when the Lord shows up. Amen. Amen. If you found your place in God's holy word, I'd ask you to stand with me for the reading, for the reverence of God's holy word. Matthew chapter number 14, we're going to begin in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but five loaves and two fishes." And I want to stop right there for a second. And just to say, I want us to see what was going on in this time when Jesus was getting ready to go into the mountain and pray. I want us to understand there was a miracle that was done here. There was a lot of miracles done in God's Word. Amen. And we say, I've heard people today say, well, we don't see miracles like that. Yes, if you just keep your eyes open. Amen. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while they sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, therefore didst thou doubt. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'm going to ask Brother Joey if he would to pray for us.
Yes, God.
You may be seated. Appreciate Brother Joey for the good, humble prayer. We see here in the Word of God that after the multitude was fed, Jesus had went up into the mountain and prayed. And the disciples got on a ship. And this is very, very familiar scripture. Brother Houston had spoke about this just a few weeks ago. Brother Dwight had opened up Sunday school this morning about this. But as I woke up this morning, 5 o'clock this morning, God just began to burden my heart about this scripture. And I said, God, just speak to me. Show me what you'd have me to see. And we see here, as the Bible says again, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He told his disciples, get into the ship, and the disciples did as he said. And you know, sometimes God constrains our heart to do stuff, amen? He convicts our heart to stand up and give our testimony, and we do. He convicts our heart to sing sometimes, amen? These guys sitting up here, well, they make us sing. No, God, when the Lord's in it, I mean, you just want to sing for Him, amen. And I hate they didn't have anything with them. I always love to hear the shepherd boys sing this morning, but it's all right. It's what the Lord wanted, amen. He's seen fit. And sometimes when God just burdens our heart and constrains our heart to do something, we just jump for joy to do it. Amen, don't we? Amen. The Bible says here, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And I just want to say this, you know, sometimes it just helps to get alone with God. Amen. It just helps to be alone with God and alone with Jesus Christ and to pray and ask God for help. Because, you know, truly he is the only one that's going to be able to help us in this very day that we live in. Amen. He's the only one that can help us. Our family can be there with us. They can help us physically, but God's the only one that can help spiritually. Amen. He's the only one that's going to truly be there when nobody else is. And the Bible says, and when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer." This word cheer here is translated to courage. Be of good courage. "It is I, be not afraid." And now Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." I like this. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What faith. What faith Peter had. When he said, "Lord, if it's you out there in the middle of the sea, if it's you, just bid me to come and I'll come to you." Jesus simply with that sweet, soft, still voice said, "Come." And Peter stepped. Can you imagine being out in the middle of the water and the waves tossing to and fro and having the courage, the faith to step out into the water? Peter stepped out of the boat. And he walked on the water. It's the only person, it's the only human being outside of Jesus Christ that has ever been recorded to walk on water. And he walked. He began to walk on the water. And I want to preach a message to you this morning. I want to preach a message to you titled this: Why do you let the devil win? Why do you let the devil win? The Word of God says, Jesus said to him, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And then he said to him, Peter said, "Lord, if it's thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, Lord, save me." I can't help but to read this scripture and to think in my own life, why do I let the devil win? Peter, he had the courage, he had the strength as he stepped out of the boat to walk on the water. Amen. Anybody ever seen a goose or a duck as they come in and land? Well, they can't just start flying to take back off. Those little feet start scurrying across the top of the water, and they'll walk on the water. And I couldn't help but to think of how Peter, when he stepped out of the boat with the faith and the courage that God had gave him, he was on solid ground, amen, because the Bible says, and he began to walk on the water. But, when the devil came, amen, when the wind was boisterous and the devil showed up, and he began to fight with the devil, what does the Bible say? He began to sink. Sinking into the water. Why? Because the devil's always going to show up. Amen? He's always going to show up in your life and in my life. He wants to show up this morning in the service. And if you let him show up, amen, he's going to take your blessing from God away from you. He's going to take your spiritual uplifting away from you. Amen. If you let the devil win. So why? Why do we let the devil win in our life? Why did Peter let the devil win that day when he done something that no other man has ever done in this world? When he walked on water. I believe if you turn with me, you'd see in Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7, beginning in... I had a note or two here. Let me... Romans chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says this. I'm going to let you find your place if you're flipping with me. The Bible says this in verse number 14 of chapter number 7 of the book of Romans. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Say, preacher, I don't understand a word of that. We're going to get into this scripture here. In verse number 16, the Bible says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Why do we let the devil win? Why do we do the things of this world? Why do we do the things that God don't want us to do? Amen. I like to say it like this. That I would not do, I do. And that I would do, I do not. Why is that? The Bible tells us here in Romans that sin dwelleth in me. Amen. Sin dwells in all of us. And I like to call it this, Satan. Satan is sin. Satan is the evil things of this world. He wants us to do those things that we don't want to do as Christians. We know that we shouldn't do them, so why do we do them? Because we let the devil win. We let the devil win. It's not your fault that I sin. And it's not my fault, Brother Joy, that you might sin. It's our own fault that we sin. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't even blame it on the devil. Amen. It's us. The Bible tells us, moving on here in chapter number 7, verse number 17. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want you to know something today. Each and every Christian sitting in here today, you do not, and you do not love God, amen. There is nothing about you that loves God. Nothing about this flesh. Nothing about your appearance. Nothing about your actions that loves God, amen. It's all on your inside. It's your soul, your spirit that's been saved from a devil's hell, amen, that causes you to be a child of God, that makes you an heir to the King, amen, a joint heir, amen. But you, your flesh, hates everything about God. If you were to take your soul away from you, that has been saved as a child of God, you would hate God. You would hate Jesus Christ. You would despise Him just like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees did when they crucified Him. Amen. Nothing about you loves God. It's only on the inside. We have a fight every day. We go to battle every day. We go to war every day with this robe of flesh. You know what? Sometimes I wish I could just drop this flesh and be righteous with my King, amen. Because it's a war. It's a war each and every day. So, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I want to tell you this today. You don't know what I go through, amen. And Brother Joey knows this, and our Sunday school teachers know this. Brother Dwayne knows this. When you're trying to do something for God, amen. When you're trying to do right, amen. And when you're trying to live for God, amen. The devil's going to come fighting harder and harder, amen. I mean, he's going to keep coming. And he's going to press on. I want you to know something today. And I believe this to be true is why God laid Brother Houston on my heart to do this before the service. Because our children need to know, amen, how important it is to serve God. Our young people need to know that it's important that we give them the ammunition that they can fight against Satan each and every day. The Apostle Paul said, But that I would not do, I do. And that I would do, I do not. So, preacher, what does that mean? Studying God's Word, praying, salvation, all those things that pertain to God. It seems like this world overtakes us and doesn't want us to do those things, amen. This flesh that hates God, amen. If you really ask me, and I'm talking about my flesh, not my spiritual side of me, do you really like to study God's Word? Do you really like to take the time to pray? This flesh is going to say no. But it's my heart, where God lives, where Jesus Christ lives, where He came in and made His home in my soul. I'd say, yes, I do. Because I know I should do those things. Because I, not just for me, amen, but because I want to see our children, our young people, grow up in the Word of God. I want to see those people that are here today that are lost, dying and going to hell. I want to see them saved, amen. That's why I do it. I don't do it for a showboat for me, amen. How many, if everybody in here was saved, what would be the sense to come and worship God, amen? But see, the whole world's not saved. There's lost people dying and going to hell in this world. That's why we do it, amen. That's why we thrive, to see our young people set in a good direction, amen, that they might be a missionary one of these days. Might be a preacher, or preacher's daughter. I mean, a preacher's wife. Amen. So how do we do this? How do we fight Satan? Keep him from winning. I'm going to tell you. I love this scripture right here in James chapter number 4. My favorite scripture in the Bible. It's kind of like the Romans road to salvation. This is the James road to the battle. Amen. Going through the war and in the battlefield. James chapter number 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Submit yourselves. Now, I want to slow down just for a second. How do we submit ourselves? How could I submit myself to you, Brother Dwight? Get a piece of paper out and we'll write a contract up. That'd be pretty binding, wouldn't it? I want you to understand something. A contract or a commitment can be broken. Amen. Now, if I go to the bank to borrow money to buy a vehicle or anything, if I make the commitment to that, sign the dotted line, they're going to give me the money and I'm going to go buy what my intention was to get, right? I'm going to have it in my possession. Right? What happens if I stop making that payment? They're going to come and get it, amen? The commitment is broken. The contract is broken. Amen? If I tell Brother Danny that I'm going to come over to his house tomorrow, and I'm going to help him with all his chores, and I promise him with a verbal promise, and I don't show up, I've broke that promise. I've broke that commitment. A commitment can be broken. Amen. I don't want anybody here today to commit to do anything to God, because you can break that commitment. But what I want you to do today, through James chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 7, I want you to see how important it is not to make a commitment to God, but to surrender to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. In order to go through the fight, guys, in order to go through the battle of that war that we face every day, in Ephesians it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put on that whole armor of God. How do we do that? First, we've got to surrender ourselves to put on that armor. We've got to surrender ourselves, church, to put on that armor. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. That is the only way that we can keep the devil from winning. Because the next part of that verse there is, in James chapter number 4 and verse 7, he says, Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. In order for us to resist the devil, we've got to surrender our lives to God. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we surrender first? As Brother Houston illustrated so beautifully, first, you've got to be saved. You have to be saved. It is so simple, yet the devil doesn't want you to have anything to do with it. The devil doesn't want you to partake of it because it keeps you from him. Amen. What he tells us begins back in Romans. The Bible says this. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. The Bible says this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us. It's not Mickey York telling you. It's not Preacher Mickey or Pastor Mickey. It's God's Word telling us that each and every one of us here today have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Apostle Paul said, that I would not do, I do. Those things, those lies, those adultery, pornography, drinking, lying, cheating, stealing, those are the things that I do. Because why? Because I'm in the flesh. That I would not do, I do. But that I would do, read my Bible, study God's Word, pray, sing in the choir, those things that I would do, I do not. Because why? I wear this flesh. Because I'm letting the devil win. Because there's a war between my spiritual side and my physical side. There's a war that goes on each and every day. So the Bible tells us that each and every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter number 5, verse 8, listen to this. He says, but just like the Scripture in chapter number 7, just like the Scripture in James chapter number 4, it's got a but in it, amen. Right here it says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the unlovable. He died for those that sinned, that murdered, that thieved, that killed, that stealed. Amen. Who's the ones He died for? That's you. And that's me. Amen. So I'm not a murderer. Really. He says, but God commends His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He goes on to say this in chapter number 6. For the wages of sin is death. Here we go again, another but. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James chapter number 4, verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So why do we let the devil win? Because if the Word of God is true, and I believe it to be 100% accurate, without a shadow of a doubt, correct, He says, for the wages of sin is death. So why would we even give the devil liberty in our life to allow us, to help us, commit those things that we know we shouldn't do? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If there's somebody here today that's never been saved, never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I want you to know something. Hell is real. Hell was not created for you or I or for those that are lost. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. But when we refuse to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that is where we go. If we choose to serve Satan over God, the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve Satan on this side and serve God on this side. You can't do it. But in order for us to accept Him as our personal Savior, we've got to realize, we've got to surrender ourselves to Him. Not to commit ourselves. Well, Lord, if I ask you into my heart and save me, then I'll commit to serve you. No, that commitment can be broken. You've got to surrender your life to it. So, well, preacher, I don't want to give up the things in my life. I don't want to give up those sins, those worldly things. You may not think they're too bad, but in God's eyes, a sin is a sin. Amen. I mean, a little white lie, as we call it, to murdering a baby is all the same. Amen. It's all the same in God's eyes. Well, preacher, I just want to just continue to live my life like I want to live it. Well, you'll continue to live your life until God takes you out of here. And you'll be like that man that lifted up his eyes in hell and started praying that somebody would go to his brothers and tell them what an awful place this is. I don't know about you today, but I don't want to go there. I like to go on vacation, but I don't want hell to be one of them. The Bible says in chapter number 10, He says that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That one verse right there shows us how simple salvation is. How simple salvation is. All you have to do, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. There's two things to this scripture right here that you and I had to do when we asked Jesus Christ to save us. First, we had to believe in our heart. We got to believe that we're lost. You can't be found until you're lost. Amen. The second thing is we had to confess. How simple is that? How simple is it to bow on your hands and knees and pray? Say, God, I believe that you are who you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. That I believe that you died on that cross to save each and every one of us. And now I'm confessing my sins. Lord, I have sinned against you. And I ask you into my heart to forgive my sins and save me from a devil's hell. I want you to come live in my heart and save me. Amen. Wow. How simple is that? If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That is the only way that you're going to keep the devil from winning in your life, is right now to surrender your heart to Him. Whether you're a child of God or whether you've never been saved, we need to surrender our heart to Him and not make a commitment, but make a life with Him and surrendering our life to Him. I'm going to ask Miss Connie if she'll come to the piano. Let us stand. Peter got out of the boat. Peter had the faith and the courage to get out of the boat. But as he began to walk, he seen Satan. He seen the devil, the winds boisterous as they begin to swirl. And he took his eyes off God. As a child of God, we can take our eyes off of God.
And that's not the thing to do. That's the way we let the devil win. But as a person that's never been saved, you've got to put your eyes on God. And see, Peter put his eyes on God. The Bible says he stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. He had his eyes on God. That's the first thing that we need to do, is put our eyes on God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's somebody here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I tell you, it's that simple. First, you got to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He went to that cross and shed His blood for you and I. He went to that tomb and on the third day He rose again. And sometime later He ascended into heaven. You've got to believe that. And that's all you have to believe. And the second thing that you have to do is you have to confess. You have to confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart to save you. To save you. I don't know about you tonight, but I wouldn't dare step out of this church door today knowing that I was lost. You don't know how much longer you got here on this earth. I'm getting ready to be 40 years old this year. And I'm going to be honest with you something, church. I never thought God would let me live to see 40 years old. I never thought God would let me live this long because of the things that I'd done in this world. I had a friend at 19 years old, my best friend in the world. I thought he'd grow up and outlive any of us in high school. And at 19 years old, the Lord took him out of here. How about you today? Would you come? If you've never been saved, would you come? How about you today? Would you come? Would you come? Hey, don't be ashamed. Every saved person in this church today has been where you're at, lost. And I'm going to tell you what's going through your mind right now. The devil's telling you, don't do it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth being a Christian. Don't even think about that going to hell. It's not that bad. But you don't want to give up the things that you like to do. You don't want to give up those little sins. You don't want to give up your life to have to serve a God and live right. You don't want to do it. But God, in that still small voice, Jesus Christ told us in His Word that He went and prayed for us. I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to your heart today if you're lost. And I believe you need to listen to Him. Don't listen to me. Listen to Him. If you feel like there's something inside of your heart, your body that's telling you, come to the altar, you better come. Don't let this day pass from you.